Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Second Kings. In the Jewish community, it's referred to as 4th Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and then 1st Kings, and then 2nd Kings, but all about the kings in that era. It's the time of Elijah and Amos, Obadiah and Uzziah, Hosea, Joel, and Habakkuk, and Jeremiah, all the prophets prophesying to a strange country, a strange nation. That kind of describes our nation. This culture right now is groping in spiritual darkness. This culture needs a big dose of the old-time religion. This country in which we live has strayed so far from where it used to be. Let's go back 2,900 years, book of 2 Kings. 2,900 years ago, Israel is divided. Israel has become a nation of idols and doubts. And just like a lot of people today, they were so in need of the power of God. Now, God has some prophets. Elijah is just getting ready to leave the scene. That's what we're going to read about this morning. And then Elisha, who had been mentored by him for 10 years, is going to pick up the mantle. I know some of you are somewhat familiar with the story. Israel needs a word from heaven. Enter Elijah, and then Elijah to follow. Stand with me one more time. Let me read a little bit of scripture, just a few verses. Then Moab, that would be modern day Jordan, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, that's the god, the Lord of the flies, the God of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease. Israel was on a quest to follow anybody but Jesus, just like the world today. Anybody but Jesus. UFOs, pseudoscience, self-help gurus, anybody but the Jesus of the Bible. That's the direction Israel was headed. The numbers of churches that are holding true is diminishing. Churches are being planted by other good churches. That's a good thing. Missionaries are still being sent all over the world. But just like Israel in Elijah's day and in Elijah's day, America is divided. And America is groping in spiritual darkness and trying to find answers where there are no answers. And what we need to do is just turn back to God. Just the old time religion is what it is. We live in a country today where 7 out of 10 people have no church affiliation. I came across these statistics this week from, I can't remember what organization does all these polls. 4% of America claim to have a biblical worldview. That has changed in 20 years. The bottom's dropped out. 20% of America, get this, we hear about all these people being born again. 20% believe the Bible is the Word of God. America is on a quest. Anybody but Jesus. You know, we'll use the word Jesus, but we're going to plug in the God that we want there. Anybody but the Christ, the Messiah of the Bible. And there was a great need in Israel. Let's look at it very quickly. I want to review verse 1, chapter 1, and I want to preach a little bit of chapter 2 this morning and trust that God will get a hold of our hearts. And if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to make an impact on the counties, our county, and the counties that surround us, then what we need to do is we need to, you say, how are people going to know? Change lives. Amen. Change lives. The power of a changed life cannot be denied. Somebody gets born again and their life changes. Man, that speaks. That's not camouflage. That's not blending in with the world. That's not being like the world or running back to Egypt. That's a changed life. That changed life is going to change, going to make a strike a blow for the glory of God in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Northern Lower Michigan. But we've got to have win more people to Christ. Enlarge the campus, enlarge the auditorium, 800-seat auditorium. If I shared all of my vision, I've told you this many times in the past, it would scare you. Don't limit God. That's all it is. Don't limit God, and let's let God do what he's going to do. It's going to take a miracle, but we'll get it done for the glory of God. God has raised up churches in the past. I've often talked about the Metropolitan Tabernacle, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in the 1800s in London, how it shook the world for God. Canton Baptist Temple in Canton, Ohio, in the 1900s, at one time the world's largest Sunday school. Man, they were just an amazing. Dr. Dallas Billington, their pastor, wrote the book, My God is Real. And they shook America for God. God could do it in an out of the way place too. He could do it in a place called Kinross that doesn't have a McDonald's, doesn't have a hotel. Doesn't have a restaurant. Got some takeout places. But you know, he can do it where he's going to do it if we just get ready. Look here, verse 1 again. I want to go all the way down to verse 3. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Elijah confronts God tells Elijah to confront these people because they're looking to a false god. Verse 4 says, now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why you now turn back? What are you back here for already? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and he said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was this that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him and said, he was a hairy man, and girt about with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, that's Elijah. Elijah has troubled me again and again. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. He gives Elijah the order. The king says, come down. Now, verse 10 says, and Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50s. Crispy critters. Like my wife's Saturday morning bacon. Crisp, right there. And he sent unto him another 50 and another captain of 50 and his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Ahaziah had discounted the God of heaven. Ahaziah the king thinks he's calling the shots. Verse 13 says, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came. He had a little bit different attitude. He fell on his knees before Elijah, and he besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. This guy's got a completely different attitude. He heard what happened to the other 102 men. He understood he's on a fool's errand. He's supposed to go get the man of God, order the man of God to come back and see this idol-worshiping king who doesn't honor the Lord God Jehovah. But this guy's got it together. He gets on his knees. He approaches Elijah, and he refers to Elijah. He says, these men are your servants. Please, don't kill us. Would you come and see the king? And of course, God passes it on. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he rose and he went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. Notice, the message from God does not change. The prophet did not have the right or the wherewithal to change the word of God. Even though these men that approached had a different attitude, this king denies. He's looking to the Lord of the flies for answers. In America, we have some strange gods. We got gods that fill up football stadiums and hockey stadiums, and we have people that fill up baseball stadiums, people to worship these false gods that are there in their little tabernacles, and people pay all kinds of money for tickets and hot dogs and everything else and drink their beer and have their tailgating parties, and we got all kinds of false gods. Those gods dictate their lives. Their whole life is wrapped up around those gods. We have gods of self-worship, humanism. We have gods of pseudoscience. We got people that are turning to UFOs, spirit mediums. There's all kinds of debauchery out there. America's no different than Israel in its divided situation here, in its divided case, and looking to false gods instead of the true God of heaven. Elijah comes back, does not change the message. He said, you're going to die. And so he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now here's what I want to preach. This is what I want to get to. I took way too long for that introduction. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when the word of the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal, place of beginnings, in the Jordan River Valley. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, with the Lord, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel, and that is in the highlands, and there's a valley up there. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now here's what I read. We're going to read a half a dozen more verses, minimum. And here's what I see is the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. There's the school of the prophets going on, and there are prophets of God in training in many of these cities. But Elisha had a special relationship with Elijah. Elisha loves Elijah. And they somehow know that the time of him going to heaven is very soon. And Elisha refuses to leave his mentor of 10 years. Now he's going to ask Elijah for a hard thing. That's what the crux of my message this morning. He's going to ask for a double portion of the power of God. And it is interesting that Elijah performed 8 miracles and Elisha, in holy writ and holy record, performed 16. It is also interesting that Elijah's ministry lasted 35 years and Elisha's ministry lasted 70 years. He prays and he asks God, not for riches, not for fame, not for fortune. He asks God for a double portion of the power of God. If I can get to that point this morning and still have some energy left, I want to drive that home. But and Elijah is, three times he tells Elisha, stay here. I'm going on. You stay here. Elijah was not trying to hinder Elisha. Elijah was testing Elisha. Does he really want the power of God? Does he really want to know the full blessing of God? Or does he just want to be a spectator like the other sons of the prophets? So three times, I'll read it real fast. Three times Elijah says, stay here, stay here. And Elijah knows, no, wait a minute. You're going to go home to heaven here pretty soon. We both know that. I'm sticking with you. Let's read on here. I'm staying with the man of God, is what he says. Verse 4 says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Opposition everywhere. Naysayers everywhere, even within the family of God. These were just careless sons of the prophets. They did not understand they were trying to hinder God's will. Verse 6 says, And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Next sentence is a very important sentence. It says, And they went, they too went on. This young man named Elisha understood the call of God in his life. And he would not be denied. There's no way he was going to be separated from the man of God. And the 50 sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, just spectators. The world is filled with spectators, mediocrity, people that just, I'm all for the power of God. Go get him, Elijah. Go get him, Elijah. But we're going to stand back here and we're going to watch. This message is about raising up some Elijahs. Amen. This message is about raising up some people that have enough faith to ask God for big things like a double portion. Verse 8 says, And Elijah took his mantle. This had to be a spectacle, talking about being a spectator. Elijah took his mantle, that's his overcoat, and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they went to over on dry ground. Like the Hebrews of old when they were crossing the Red Sea, dry ground. Crossing the River Jordan on dry ground. God alone moves seas and oceans and rivers and mountains. Elijah takes his mantle, takes his outer coat off, takes off his mantle, and he twists it up. He wraps it together, and he walks over to the river of the Jordan, and he smotes the river, and it parts. And they walk across on dry land. What a picture. Their feet never got wet. And I've already alluded to it. That's already happened in Israel before. That happened with the Hebrews once before. Twice before. Now it's happening again. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, Here it is. Here's his request. Now verses 1 through 8, that's his resolve. Elijah would not be denied. He did not attempt to get Elijah. This is all about a test. This is all about Elijah proving to Elijah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's going to pick up your mantle. I'm the guy that's going to get it done. I'm not interested in hanging with the crowd back there and watching and being a spectator. I want to be right smack dab in the center of God's will for my life and for the life of the people of my Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. So as a child of God, here's Elijah and he's ready. And it came to pass when they had gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said unto him, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Amen. I want everything, Elijah, sir, I want everything you had twice over and more. You know what I see here? I see a young man who does not limit God. I see a young man who has vision and burden, and he's not going to be denied. He didn't want a double portion of the power of Elijah for himself. It wasn't for Elisha. That's not what it was for. It wasn't for fame. It wasn't for fortune. He didn't get rich. It was for the ministry. It was for the work, the very work of God. It says, I want a double portion. I want everything. I want your vision. I want your faith. I want the miracle working power. I want to be God's voice in this divided nation in which we live. I want it all. Now look what it says in verse 10. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Not easy. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, you stay close to me. It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. The power of God and being used of God is not a reckless thing. It's for people who are serious. Getting saved, that's easy, isn't it? getting born again, being part of God's family, coming to a good New Testament local church, man, putting tithe in the offering box and singing the songs. That really is kind of the easy thing. You know, it doesn't take a lot to come to church. But what we need at Fundamental Baptist Church is the power of God. What we need at Fundamental Baptist Church is really a big dose of the old time religion. We need a double portion. We've seen some great things happen here in the past. And if I were to list them and you were to list them, we could spend the rest of the hour, the rest of the next hour, the rest of the afternoon. We could spend all day Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, probably fill up a whole week full of testimonies of what God has done here at Fundamental Baptist Church with an undeserving people. A God-forgiven, a sin-forgiven people, people that don't deserve to be forgiven. God has forgiven us and he's been so good to us. But there's more. There's so much more. His request is a hard thing. Not an easy thing. Let me read on. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha was there and he watched. Verse 12 says, and Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He watched, he wore the mantle, and he walked with the God of Elijah. He picks up that fallen mantle like a baton's being passed on. He picks it up and he walks, and the sons of the prophets are watching in the distance. And he walks back to the river. And he folds it up, wraps it up, and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smotes the water and departs. Let's read. I'll read it now. I'm going to make direct application. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. His response was, I want the power of God. Amen. His request was big. He was asking for more than Israel had ever seen. Now, I'm just a sinner, man. I don't have anything, truthfully. I got nothing to offer God. I don't even have a lot of strength to offer God anymore. I'm hands of clay, feet of clay. I tire so quickly. But I believe there's a God in heaven who is so big. I want to make a splash in this end of Michigan and this part of Michigan like has never been made before. It's more than swinging for the fences. It's God the Holy Spirit sending old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I'm praying that God will raise up people at Fundamental Baptist Church that are so on fire for God. I got to work like everything to be the spiritual leader. I got to run to stay in front. It's not about people being satisfied. It's not about people just being fat and content and right in the middle of the blessings of God. It's reaching the world around us. Go to Romans in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Seems like every time I preach, I got to tell you, well, I didn't preach what I wanted to preach this morning, and here I am again this morning. But Romans in chapter 9, I have a vision. When I say, and I still have, I had it this morning. It's not a supernatural thing. It's not like God doesn't work in dreams and visions anymore. We've got the completed word of God. We know what the Bible teaches about that. But when I'm talking about a vision, when I say that, I'm saying foresight. I'm saying no. I'm saying burden. I'm saying a desire that comes from the throne of God. Just drop right down from heaven. I've had this desire for years and years. I can actually say decades now. And that's at the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Northern Michigan would have a church of 1,000 people, a New Testament church, an old-time religion church, a church that preaches the whole counsel of God, a church that has an altar call every service, a church that sings the songs of the faith, not afraid of new songs, but we're not going to get wacky. We're not going to get phony. We're not going to get Hollywood. There's not going to be any smoke and mirrors and all that kind of stuff, but just a church that honors God and exalts Jesus Christ, and that church to be a church of 1,000 people. Man, how's it going to happen, Pastor? a miracle, a hard thing. We could just go along and have the normal thing, or we could have the hard thing. We could ask God, the great God of heaven, for great things, change lives, multiplied over again and again and again, change lives and numerical growth, where more and more people are getting it, more and more people are getting born again and receiving Christ, and they're coming to the church house and they're growing in grace. I changed, we'll make an impact by having this auditorium with 800 to 1,000 people in here. I'm talking about an orchestra over here that honors God, that's classy, that honors God. And we lift our voices with trumpets and lift our voices and be able to sing. And all the world is taking note of it. Now, people are taking note, but I'm talking about everybody saying, man, remember I preached last Sunday morning? Something's on fire in Kinross. Go back to Romans chapter 9. I ask you to turn there, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul here says, I say the truth in Christ. Now, what he's saying, I lie not. Saying, understand, Paul's writing by way of inspiration. Paul is not exaggerating with what he's about to say. These are not unthought out words. This is inspired of God, right from his heart, but inspired right from the throne of God. I say the truth. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul has a burden. Oh, he's got a burden for the people, the Hebrew people. He's got a burden. God has made him the apostle to the Gentiles. He's got a burden for the entire world. But he said, I got a burden for my own people as well, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 3 says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Listen to what Paul's saying. If my nation would get saved. I've told you, I believe he's the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. If my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews, would just turn to the Messiah, I'd be willing to go to hell. Now that's a burden I've never had. I'll never have. Paul said, you get a hold of his vision. You wonder why God used him the way he used him? Paul says, by way of inspiration, if only my brethren, according to the flesh, the Jews, the Israelites, I'm ministering to the Gentiles, but if just my kinsmen back in the home country, if they would come to Christ, if they would take Jesus as their Messiah, I'd be willing to go to hell for that. Now, that's an impossibility, theological impossibility, because he's in Christ, but that's his burden. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, that's what it's about, that they might be saved. I can't hold a candle to the Apostle Paul. I can't walk in his shoes. I can't walk in his shadow even. I'm just that simple youper that got born again, that God uses as I surrender to him, and I got to surrender all the time. I surrender more and more, but I'll just share my pastor's heart, and we're going to have an altar call here. And it's not an emotional thing. I don't want it to be an emotional thing, but this is my heart. I want a church of 1,000 people, not for fame and not for fortune, but for God's glory, for souls. Get yourself a burden. There are people out there that are lost, groping in darkness, and they need Jesus. He'll change their life. And then he'll do it for their husband or their wife. And then he'll do it for their children. He'll do it for their moms and their dads. Then he'll do it for their aunts and their uncles. And this fruit of the life, this fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life. It'll keep on growing and growing. And we'll see the hand of God. And everybody will take note and say, there's a God. There's a God in Kinross. Must be the God of heaven. And he'll get the glory.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.